Investment flash.
Oil just ripped above $90 after Iran hit tankers over the weekend, and stocks barely flinched. I'm Tom, and this is Investment Flash.
Morning. Monday, July 20th, London edition. I'm Marie, with Tom, already bouncing on the oil move, and Gerald, who's probably watching those bonds slide. We've got Hormuz headaches, a copper gauge surging in China, and a quantum fix for Bitcoin. Let's get into it.
Sir Gerald, the U.S. oil fund ETF was up 5% last week. Year-to-date, almost 80%. And the energy sector ETF, still 9% off its high. This thing has legs, buddy.
Legs? Tom, the oil ETF is 88% above its 52-week low. That's a crowded trade. The moment Iran de-escalates, or OPEC Plus pledges to cover the strait, crude could drop $10 in days.
But look at gold. That's the tell. The gold ETF is down 7.5% year-to-date, 28% below its high. If this were a broad fear event, bullion would be bidding. It's not. This is oil-specific.
Exactly. That means energy stocks can run while the rest of the market shrugs. The energy sector ETF is just starting to price in sustained 90-plus crude. 9% to its high? That's room.
Right, so you're saying the conflict stays contained and oil holds above 90. But what's the catalyst? We've got China imports at 8-year lows. Demand is a vacuum. That's the counterweight no one's talking about.
See, Gerald, that's exactly my point. The supply disruption panic is front and center, but China's demand hole is real. If Hormuz stays open, and it likely will, this crude move could deflate just as fast.
All right, so you two are fading the oil rally. But let me ask, what about the bond sell-off? The long-duration Treasury ETF near its 52-week low, down almost 3% year-to-date. Inflation from energy is real, no?
Oh, Tom's found his next trade, short the long bond. Buddy, that trade is packed too. The Treasury ETF is 2% off its low. If oil proves transitory, bonds rip. The contrarian play is to fade the sell-off.
I'm with Gerald on this one. The long bond ETF at 84 is a floor worth watching. Pair a long bond with a short oil position after a confirmed inventory build. That's the setup.
You two just want to buy bonds and short oil? That's the most crowded contrarian trade ever. But fine, we watch the levels.
Tom, remember when you said semis were cooked in Q2? Good times. This my age similarly.
Haha, fair enough. But Oracle, which we said to buy this weekend, is quietly up 0.5%. So I'll take my wins.
Are we really keep tracking calls on a Monday? All right, let's move. China Renewables. Nikkei Asia says they grabbed 79% of global wind turbine installations last year. That's up 6 points.
Absolute dominance. The global wind energy ETF is only up 0.8% in a week and still 12% below its high. That's not pricing in the market share grab.
The wind ETF's been range-bound for a reason. Wind margins are thin. And China's consolidation in solar? The consumption tax sparked a rally in the solar ETF, up 1.5%, but it's still 29% below its high. That's a deep hole.
But the tax is designed to accelerate consolidation. That means the survivors get stronger pricing power. It's a structural positive for the solar ETF. Tom, I think you're right on this one.
Finally, someone agrees. Solar's oversupplied now, but the tax forces the weak hands out. Once the glut clears, margins expand.
Analysts revising price targets after a tax announcement is basically a free retirement plan. But, yeah, I see the logic.
Okay, Gerald, let's talk EM carry. Bloomberg says EM currency volatility hit a year-to-date low. Latin American currencies are the safe carry, so the emerging markets ETF might catch a bid.
The emerging markets ETF is up 12.5% year-to-date, but dipped 1.4% last session. Pre-event caution before this packed Asia week. Bank Indonesia rate decision, South Korea GDP.
South Korea's GDP is the one to watch, expected strong on AI chip exports. The South Korea ETF is up 59% year-to-date, monster run, but down 3% last week. If GDP surprises, that's your entry.
Hold on. The South Korea ETF at 59% gains, and you're calling a pullback buy? Tom, that's exactly the kind of momentum chasing that gets you in trouble. South Korea's already priced in a lot of AI.
No, but that's the thing. Korea's GDP print could show AI chip demand is still accelerating. We're not at peak hype yet. The pullback is just a breather.
I'll say this. Indonesia's rate decision on Wednesday is trickier. A hike to defend the rupiah might hurt equities, but if the central bank strikes a dovish tone, the Indonesia ETF could rally. Direction hinges on the press conference.
Good point. Copper now. China's Yangshan premium surged to $100, highest in over a year. Tax crackdown caused a scrap shortage, so they're importing refined copper.
The copper ETF, up 8% year-to-date and only 7% below its 52-week high. The gauge is at a year high. Momentum is strong.
Southern Copper is up 18% year-to-date, but still 22% below its high. And it trades at a forward PE of 24. Not cheap for a miner. You're betting on copper price leverage.
Exactly, buddy. Earnings torque. Every 10-cent move in copper goes to the bottom line. If the gauge holds above 100, Southern Copper re-rates.
But China's demand sustainability? That premium is driven by a one-time tax enforcement. If scrap supply returns, the premium could collapse. So it's a catalyst with a short shelf life.
Marie just called your copper rally a tax-induced sugar high, Tom. But I'll say, the technicals are friendly.
All right, I'll take it.
What about India banks? Bloomberg notes corporate loans rising as bond yields climb. Classic reflation.
ICICI Bank, down 0.8% year-to-date and 14% below high. Book value, 2.8. If the credit cycle turns, that's attractive. But it hasn't turned yet.
And with oil spiking, India's import bill swells. That pressures the rupee and could force the central bank to hold rates. So the reflation trade might be premature.
But loan growth is real. That's the leading indicator. ICICI is a buy on any dip.
Tom's already buying Indian banks. Someone check his portfolio heat map.
I mean, it's diversified at least. New Zealand dollar shorts. Hedge funds have the biggest bet against the Kiwi since 2006. Bloomberg says oil rebound exacerbates domestic pressures.
That's a consensus trade with a real catalyst. The New Zealand equities ETF is only 3% off its high. Record short positioning on the currency. If the Kiwi weakens further, the ETF could fall.
But if it's the most crowded short since 06, a snapback could be violent. Remember, positioning extremes often reverse. I'd rather watch than trade.
Tom's got a point. When everyone's on one side, the unwind is the real move. I'd wait for a catalyst to confirm downside.
All right. I'll file that under things that make you go, hmm. Now, UK insurers, our very own Gerald Special. S&P warns on hard-to-price private assets at pension insurers. FT says private assets top 10% of portfolios at Legal & General and others. Yeah, look, Legal & General is up 13.5% year-to-date, trading near its 52-week high. That regulatory overhang caps upside. Private credit is opaque, and S&P is the canary. Sell into strength.
I'm going to push back here. Insurers have been managing private credit for years. This could be a non-event, but the near-term technicals do look toppy.
Last session, by the way, the S&P 500 ETF was down just under 1%, still up 8.8% year-to-date. So markets are handling the Iran stuff. On to the most original take, CoinDesk with a Bitcoin quantum fix.
Yes, Project 11 proves wallet key derivation paths can stand as ownership evidence, enabling recovery if quantum computers break signatures. Runs in 243 milliseconds on a laptop. Not for Satoshi's 1.1 million coins, though.
That's wild. A practical quantum countermeasure that actually works. And remember, we said to watch Bitcoin this weekend? Here's a real tool. If quantum threat becomes a narrative, this could be the answer.
Yeah, but if quantum computers are that close, Bitcoin's price chart will be a vertical line. The fact that you can recover funds doesn't help if everyone is panic selling. It's a nice academic proof, but I wouldn't trade on it.
Hold on, Gerald. That's exactly why it matters. It provides a pathway to upgrade the network security before a crisis. That's bullish for long-term holders. It reduces tail risk.
100%. This is the kind of work that gives you confidence to hold Bitcoin through the next decade.
All right. I still prefer assets that don't need quantum postdocs to defend, but fair enough.
So our view, oil above 90, the oil ETF up 5% in the week, but the S&P 500 ETF barely flinching. The market's betting on a contained conflict. Bonds are the canary. The long treasury ETF pricing in inflation.
The split brain is between supply disruption fear and China's demand vacuum. Imports at an 8-year low mute the spike, but only if the strait stays open.
But the oil move is extended. The oil ETF is 88% above low. Momentum funds are in. If Iran steps back or OPEC pledges output, crude could shed a 10-spot fast.
And gold not rallying tells you this isn't a broad risk-off. It's oil-specific. The moment bombing pauses, the long oil short bond trade unwinds violently. That's the contrarian play. Fade the bond sell-off.
Exactly. The long Treasury ETF at 52-week low, crowded short. If oil-induced inflation proves transitory, long bonds will rip. Pair it with a short oil, but only after confirmed inventory build.
So wait, we all agree? That's rare. We're watching the oil ETF's 124 level and the bond ETF's 84 floor.
100%.
That's the whole story.
And as always, none of this is investment advice. Do your own research, talk to a professional.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back at 9 a.m. New York time for the New York edition. Until then, watch those levels and stay nimble.